Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, and hello to Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to your favorite morning sports talk show, coming to you from the bunker. Still out here in beautiful Western Canada, talking about things that Western Canadians care about, and that includes the Canadian Football League. And as we open up the program, episode number 90 with the warm-up. Big news in the Canadian Football League today, and we're going to jump right into that out of the chute. Jim Popp fired as general manager of the Toronto Argonauts. Our friend Dave Naylor of TSN broke the news first thing this morning. The news conference was at 9, so about an hour ago, and we have since learned that Mike Pinball Clemens has been inserted as the new general manager of the Toronto Argonauts, and John Murphy, the former Riders assistant GM, will be part of the management team. Corey Chamberlain, for now, has survived. The 2-12 Argos have four games to go, and that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today. Darren DuPont will join us later on in the program, probably in hour two. We welcome two esteemed Rider and CFL alumni to the bunker, Marshall Hamilton and Chris Getzlaff. Morning, fellas.
Morning, Rod.
For Getz, we can say Riders, Ticats, Eskimos, and for Marshall, Stampeders, Ticats, Riders. So a league-wide view.
Not in that order, but yes.
Yeah, not in that order, exactly. And also coming up with, I'm pretty excited about the show today. I'm excited about every show. But today, as I look at the board, Marcus Crandall, the great sizzle, will be joining us. Former Rider quarterback, two-time Grey Cup champion. Marcus Crandall will be joining us on the program today. Also, Julie Stewart-Binks, formerly of ESPN, Fox Sports, and CTV Regina. Julie Stewart-Binks will be joining us to talk about her new show and a whole lot more. So, gentlemen, we do welcome comments on the Facebook wall. And, of course, the Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. The news today, I'll start with you, Getz. Were you surprised with what's come out of Toronto?
Not as much. No, not that really that surprised. I mean, when you've had a team that's been struggling now for the last 2 years, change is going to happen, and that's kind of inevitable. I'm hoping that James still gets a few games to kind of prove his worth. I think that he deserves that much, but something had to change, so it was either going to be a coach or a GM move or whatnot.
How about you, Marshall?
I wasn't surprised for the same reasons as Chris said. They've really been struggling, and I said this, I think it was on In the Huddle last week, when I watched that mic'd up game between the Roughriders and the Argos, you could see a stark contrast between the leadership of Chamberlain and Franklin versus the leadership of Fajardo and Craig Dickinson. There was just so, it was so positive on the Rider side, and it was so, you know, anti-positive. I wouldn't say it was negative, but it was just sort of, it was so blah. It seemed like Franklin didn't understand his own playbook, and he just didn't have command of the huddle and stuff like that. So, I mean, that didn't tell me anything about Jim Popp, but, you know, Jim Popp's in charge. And as you know, with the new sort of cap on expenses that they can spend on coaches, I don't think you're going to see many coaching changes in the middle of the season now, because it's really hard to replace the coaches that you let go. So I think given that scenario, I think they're trying to send a message to the team, and and letting Jim Popp go was probably, I don't know, as a general manager is probably not in that cap.
He absolutely is, and Jim's making a fair buck too, by the way.
So they're going to have to somehow find some money to bring in Pinball.
They brought him in over the last couple of weeks.
But anybody new they bring in, they're going to have to find in sort of within that cap or over that cap.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Maybe Kavis Reed could help them find a way through that.
Kavis, well, as I heard a couple weeks ago, it had been reported that Pinball had rejoined the organization in some capacity, in a little more than just an ambassador. Getz, you've been around losing teams. You've been around winning teams. When new people start being injected onto the scene, you know something's up, right? And all of a sudden, red flags go up. Here's my take on all this. The only thing that I can see Jim Popp's been guilty of is not being able to find a replacement for Ricky Ray. On the weekend after that 55-8 debacle in BC, I sent some text to my friends with the Argos, and this came from within the walls. The players love Chamberlain. We don't have the horses, and there's probably a house cleaning coming. That was Sunday, and now Tuesday, the GM's fired, and that's how, folks, if you ever heard the term sitting duck, lame duck, Corey Chamberlain's just sitting there as the sitting duck, the lame duck, because his boss has been fired. So it'll depend on the relationship between Pinball and Corey moving forward, as you say, gets. Give him four more games to see what he can do. But again, Jim Popp, I don't think, got stupid. There are people that are saying the league's passed him by in terms of league business. I don't really agree with all of that. He had Tracy Hamm in Montreal and Baltimore. He had Anthony Calvillo in Montreal. He was responsible for getting those guys. He inherits Ricky Ray in Toronto. Pretty good guy to inherit, right? And where I say the only thing that I think he's guilty for is he had Cody Fajardo right under his nose and let him get away because he's the next one. So if you're talking about firing Jim Popp, any reason for that, that would be it.
Yeah, I think that you could say that. At the same time, you know, did everyone think that Cody Fajardo was that guy at that time? I can't say that I did, but coming in here and seeing what he has done and how he controls the huddle and how he controls a game, I mean, he is the next one, and what a bright light for the Riders to land on this guy, especially how the season started.
Yeah, I mean, to be quite frank, who saw this coming with Cody Fajardo? The Argos didn't see it coming. The Lions didn't see it coming. You know, and I think Jeremy O'Day would say, oh, yeah, of course I saw it coming. But no, I mean, none of us saw this coming 10 weeks ago or 12 weeks ago. And it's hindsight. You know, anybody that says, well, Jim Popp should be let go because he let Cody Fajardo get away. Come on. I mean, these things are, you're taking a gamble. You're taking a gamble when you bring a free agent in like Franklin. You're taking a gamble when you let a third string quarterback go. You never know when somebody's going to surface later in their career. So I think that's a bit hindsighty to say that.
Football is the ultimate hindsight game.
Yeah.
And please give me any other reason to fire Jim Popp other than that. That's the only one that I can think of. You fired Mark Trestman. Corey Chamberlain's in the crosshairs here. And again, why? Corey Chamberlain, to me, has been put in a horrible situation by not having a quarterback. Who put him there? Jim. So, and gets, I see people saying, mostly fans, not ex-players, current players, but people are saying, anybody could have coached the Riders to the Grey Cup win in 2013. They were so great. That part's true. But I've also seen really good teams in both hockey and football with a coach that wasn't capable of coaching them to a championship, and they did a face plant. It was a remarkable job Corey Chamberlain did to bring you guys together in 2013. A lot of it was managing egos. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of veterans, yeah.
You know it. That wasn't an easy job. And I think it's insulting to say that anybody could have coached that team to a championship because not anybody could have. And I would like your thoughts on that because you were there. And your thoughts on Chamberlain overall.
Chamberlain, I think, is a good coach, and I think that he's grown year by year, especially during my tenure. I mean, obviously, he got his first gig there, and you could see the growth that he had as a head coach during those couple of years. And I do think that he is a good coach, and the players saying that they completely love him and they buy into him, I mean, that's a huge positive sign. And if I'm, you know, someone like Pinball coming in to take over the GM position, you know, you have to take that into consideration, because if the guys want to play for the head coach, that's step one. And I think that Corey is a good coach, and he has that ability in him, and he brings a team together. And anyone who says that, oh, it was easy to win, it's never easy to win. That's like saying that Belichick's not a good coach because he has Tom Brady. I mean, he's still the best coach of all time. I mean, no matter what happens, what scenario he runs into, he continues to win. And that's just not because of one star player. That's because of coaching as a whole. So, I mean, Cham has been put in a couple tough positions now. The Canadian Football League is run by quarterbacks. I mean, if you don't have a good, solid starting quarterback, you're not going to win. It doesn't matter. In what was 2014? What were we? 8-1? 8-1 or 8-2?
8-2.
We were 8-2.
Going into the Banjo Bowl.
Yeah. Lose a starting quarterback and lose out. I mean, it relies on your quarterback that much and relies on you having a replacement for that quarterback as well.
And hence why I think today Jim Popp is going to the unemployment line, because he couldn't find that guy. And I know it's not easy, But the point is that you did have Cody Fajardo there. And my point also is that if you didn't see it, I don't think this is luck with Cody Fajardo this year. And by the way, he didn't go straight from Toronto to Saskatchewan. He had a stop in BCT too. So Ed Hervey missed it as well. But I am also hearing a lot within the league, within the football people, that Jeremy O'Day got lucky. Dickinson got lucky with Fajardo. I don't believe in that. And maybe they did. But Marshall, you're a huge karma guy. And you played with O'Day and you played for Dickinson. That's how these guys roll. They play by the rules. They're good people. And good things happen to good people. So to say that Cody Fajardo has been lucky for the Riders is an insult to the Rough Riders and to those two guys. But again, if there's any other reason to fire Jim Popp besides the inability to replace Ricky Ray, please tell me what it is. Because I still haven't seen any reason to fire the guy aside from that.
Well, back to Jeremy, and you've heard me say this before. I mean, Jeremy has just been a class act. I don't know Jeremy personally. I've met him once, but I don't, other than watching how maturely he handled the situation when they went over him and hired Chris Jones, how he stayed in the background and learned the positives from Chris Jones and learned not the negatives from Chris Jones, how he sat patiently and waited for his opportunity to come in and be ready for that general manager job. And now that he's got the general manager job, I think he's been pushing all the right buttons. Is there a little bit of luck involved with finding Cody Fajardo? I don't think it's luck finding him, but I think we're all fortunate, including Cody himself, that he's blossomed into this guy that nobody saw. And I did say BC earlier too. You know, Toronto didn't see it. BC didn't see it. Jeremy O'Day saw at least enough there that he brought him in, and we're reaping the benefits. And back to Corey for a second. I mean, I was thinking about this as I watched football on the weekend. Probably the three leading candidates for Coach of the Year this year are all rookie coaches.
Oh, yeah.
You get Craig Dickinson, not necessarily in this order. Craig Dickinson, Hamilton's coach, Orlando Steinauer, and Kahari Jones in Montreal, probably the three leading candidates for Coach of the Year, all rookie coaches.
Right, and Dave Dickinson should be in that. Believe me, I hear from the Calgary people all the time, where's Dave on your list? Well, Belichick isn't always up for Coach of the Year.
Right.
Right. It's because of the excellence. You should take that as a compliment that Dave isn't on our list, because it's just a given that he's going to be one of the greatest coaches. Anyways, this is the warm-up. I feel completely naked. I've lost my phone. Have you seen it? My other phone. We'll be searching in the break. Having coffee this morning, I got to say this. Here's a good one from Perks and Taps Coffee House over at 4000 James Hill Road. You guys are welcome to some treats before you go. Marshall, you worked out, so you're entitled to have some. I don't know about you, Getz, but it says they write a joke every day on the box for us. So I had to read this one. Thieves stole 20 cases of Red Bull. It says on the top. I don't know how they sleep at night. That's pretty good.
That's a good one. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
We'll be right back with a sports update and more, talking about the latest news in the CFL. We're just scratching the surface. We'll be right back. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from, with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. On a Tuesday morning, just getting rolling with the biggest news in the CFL today. Jim Popp out as GM of the Toronto Argonauts. Mike Pinball Clemens in. John Murphy named to the management team of the Toronto Argonauts moving forward. And Corey Chamberlain, it would appear, four games left to prove whether he should be retained or not. That will be the theme throughout today's program. Argos 2-12 as they make that move. Morning sports update today. Matt Breida ran 83 yards for a touchdown on San Fran's first play from scrimmage of Monday Night Football. And the 49ers stayed unbeaten, beating the Cleveland Browns 31-3 last night in a really bad game. Tevin Coleman added a 19-yard score as part of a dominant ground game on a day when quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo passed for 181 yards and kicker Robbie Gold missed a pair of field goals and had a third try blocked, but the Niners survived and they are unbeaten. Alex Pietrangelo scored the winner as the Blues defeated the Maple Leafs 3-2 last night. Freddie Gauthier and Wee Willie Nylander replied as Toronto lost its second game in a row. And there's panic in Leafland already. Have you seen that? Two losses in a row. Uh-oh. Look out, Babs. The axe swinging in Toronto, but it was just a little down the road at BMO Field, not ACC yet, or Scotiabank Arena. Gleyber Torres got New York going with a second-inning home run, scored on each of his two doubles to lead the Yankees to a 5-1 victory over Minnesota to finish yet another sweep of the Twins and advance to the ALCS. New York stretched its postseason winning streak over the Twins to 13 straight games. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball playoff action last night, Ryan Zimmerman's three-run homer lifted the wild-card Washington Nationals to a 6-1 victory over the Dodgers, forcing a deciding Game 5 in their NL Division Series. Also, Yadier Molina hit a game-tying single and a sac fly in the 10th as St. Louis downed Atlanta 5-4 to force a Game 5 in that series. And Kevin Kiermaier hit a three-run homer as Tampa beat Houston 10-3 to cut their AL Division Series deficit to 2-1. So that is your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Maybe try them out before tonight's Pats game. Pats are home tonight. I don't even know who they're playing, but I do know that it is First Nations night. And Edmonton, Clark tells me in my ear, the Edmonton Oil Kings are in town. The top team in the WHL Central Division, from what I understand. Moving on, and we'll come back to the Argo news in a moment, but we got Chris Getzlaff and Marshall Hamilton in the bunker. I want to pick their brains as much as I can on all CFL-related topics. Doug Brown, writing in the Winnipeg Free Press this morning, guys, that the Bombers not acquiring a veteran quarterback prior to the trade deadline tomorrow is effectively waving the white flag on their season. That from Doug Brown, Hall of Fame defensive tackle, Bomber legend, and current radio color guy of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So it says a lot that he would be on the radio crew of the Bombers and say this, yet when you're a Hall of Famer, you can pretty much do whatever you want, and soon gets, you'll realize that if you don't already. But to this, is Doug Brown right? Because I think he is. Like, I can't believe the Bombers are saying they don't need any. We're good. What do you guys think?
I think that they could use at a minimum, you bring in a veteran to back him up. I mean, I think they're fully capable of winning with Strevler. You know, they've had some tough games as of late, and that's kind of the way it goes. I mean, each and every week is a question mark in the CFL. You don't know what team that isn't doing that well is going to come out and play well, and you don't know which team is playing really well that's going to come out and have a dud. So I do think it's a mistake not getting somebody in with, at minimum, some other leadership to come into that locker room for down the stretch.
How about you, Marsh?
Yeah, I'll come at it from a different angle. I don't think it's a mistake, and I don't think it's not a mistake. I think it's not going to get you what you want because it's just so late in the season. I think even if you brought in a guy like Kevin Glenn that's played with almost every team in the Canadian Football League, you still got to learn an offense that you've not been with either in a long time or that you haven't seen, and you've only got four games to do it, and you're behind. You know, Strevler, who's won some games for them. I don't think Strevler's the answer long-term, but I think he's the best option between Strevler, between McGuire, who I really like as their backup, and anybody they bring in as a veteran who's only going to have, you know, a short time to learn the offense. So I think their season I don't think their season's done, but I think that they've got a really uphill mountain to climb because they're playing with their backup quarterback. And there's some good teams in the Western Conference, and there's some good teams in the Eastern Conference. I think right now they're probably the fifth best team in the Canadian Football League, whereas I was probably had them in the top two for most of the season. But people have figured out how to stop Strebler. You just got to cover the gaps and prevent Harris from running, prevent Strebler from running and scrambling, force him to pass. He's proven that he just can't get it done. He can throw short ones, he can throw dump passes, he can throw little hooks and screens and stuff, but anything down the field, you know, eventually he's going to have to throw one of those, and he throws more picks than he throws completions.
It's funny because I've read this comparison, and people say that Cody Fajardo and Chris Strebler are so similar, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Watch the games. Fajardo stands in the pocket, and he's reading the field very well, and he's not taking off unless he absolutely has to. And I think he had 42 yards rushing as it was the other night, which was more than I would like to see, and I'm sure it's more than the Riders would like him to see. Strebler is panicking. Yep. He's like deer in the headlights, and he's taking off a ton. Now, if this was late November and this injury to Matt Nichols had happened and Strebler taken over, I think they could have got through three playoff games and maybe even a Grey Cup with Strebler just on trickery. But the fact that he had to take over from what? Labor Day Classic on? What's their record since? I think it's 500 or worse.
It's about 500, maybe one game.
Right. So I think you can't fool people every week. And that's what the task is on Paul Appelese right now, is to try and come up with some sort of gimmicky stuff. And it worked in the Banjo Bowl. He looked great, but he was still Tim Tebow in that game. He passed well. But there's enough. Why are you ranting that Raj ran for Bronco Plumbing and Heating? That's my take on Chris Strebler here the rest of the way. And I think there will be a trade. Steven Sawchuk is watching this morning in Winnipeg. He says this Bomber fan thinks the Bombers should go after McLeod Bethel-Thompson from Toronto. If the Argo, or if the Bombers don't get a quarterback prior to the trade deadline, I believe it's simply on ego. And ego has destroyed many a man and many a franchise. Just prove that you need somebody. And I'm with you, Getz, that I think that you can start Strebler the rest of the way, provided the results are there. But please don't tell me you can't bring a quarterback in with a month to go before playoffs and at least get him enough ready to start. Like when they acquired Matt Nichols, let's not forget, that came at a trade from Edmonton, whatever year it was, 2014? 2015, he was acquired on a Monday, played the next Sunday in the Labor Day Classic. They didn't win, but he played well enough. Like, could you not? Everybody's saying bring in a guy as a backup. Insurance, I get that. But you should be prepared that he's going to have to start somewhere along the line. Wouldn't you?
Oh, if you're bringing someone in, you have to have the assumption that they will be ready to play if called upon. And that could be, you know, within a couple of weeks if Strebler kind of stays down the same path that he's on right now. But I mean, bringing them in initially, I don't think that you're trying to sign somebody to be the starter. You're signing someone to come in that you have some insurance there.
And in fairness to Strebler, he hasn't been getting a lot of help. I don't know how many drop balls I saw in the last couple of weeks, but his receivers aren't helping him out. I mean, guys like Lucky Whitehead, who I thought was the rookie of the year candidate through the first 3 or 4 weeks, has almost disappeared. Darvin Adams is dropping balls. Walatarski's hurt. That was his go-to guy for a while. You know, he needs some help. And even Andrew Harris. I think it's almost like the energy's been sucked out of Andrew Harris. And I don't want to imply that's because he's not on juice anymore. I just think that emotionally, it's been very taxing on Andrew Harris. And he's not playing like Andrew Harris. So when you got Andrew Harris not playing like himself, when you've got the defense tired because they're on the field so much, and you've got receivers dropping balls that Strebler's throwing to them. Winnipeg's struggling right now.
You just listed all mental things.
Well, this is a mental game. This
right.
Really
I'm
is.
Just saying it's I mean, not that it's not fixable.
I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything out revolutionary, but you got 45 guys on one team that are all really good athletes, 45 guys on the other team that are all really good athletes. What boils down to is which 45 gel together better and which ones want it more. So that's all mental stuff. That's all
sure.
That's all here. That's not, you know, physically. Physically, you and I are the same, but mentally, who wants it more?
Right. Well, and that's why it's interesting that Doug Brown would say the Bombers not acquiring a veteran quarterback is like raising a white flag on the season, because you've already clinched a playoff spot. You're going to be there. So everything between now and then, should be preparing for that game. You're probably going to finish third anyways. So prepare for the playoffs. Don't worry about what your record's going to be and get ready for the playoffs. You're already in. That's what's insane. Now, the other thing, by the way, I was thinking about the Argos and their wins this year. Two of them. One came over the BC Lions really early on, 1 point game late. And then the other one was a roaring comeback, second half comeback against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at BMO Field, if you remember. Was it, I can't remember, 21-0 Bombers, and they came back and won 22-21. That's another problem with Winnipeg. You should have learned from that. And then you go and do the exact same thing in Montreal a few weeks later. I mean, Getz, you've played on championship teams. The regular season really is for lesson learning. Really. Because you can survive doing things like that in the regular season. You can't survive that in the playoffs. And that's the problem with Winnipeg. Everything's unraveled, and it's not just because of Matt Nichols. And by the way, if all their problems were just because of Matt Nichols, then they weren't as good a team as they thought that they were. If you can't withstand the loss of one quarterback. That's not saying it hasn't happened otherwhere. Look at Saskatchewan. 5 years we've been trying to replace Darian Durant. And now Cody Fajardo is the guy. But we weren't touting ourselves as Grey Cup favorites for the last 5 years. Now, having said that, are the Riders Grey Cup favorites now, gentlemen? There are four top contending teams, I think, right now. And when I say that, I mean teams that will be at home in the playoffs. Calgary, Saskatchewan, Montreal, and Hamilton. Of those, who's your favorites?
I think that Saskatchewan is my favorite in the West at the moment. But it's pretty hard not to give it to Hamilton right now. I mean, they're not just winning games, they're pounding everyone. And it's, I mean, all facets of the game, they are playing special teams, defense, offense. They're just rolling. And no matter who they're playing, they're just outperforming them at a high level each and every game. So it would be pretty hard not to give it to them. And I'm pretty... I lean toward the West a lot because I think as a whole, the West is better. But when Hamilton is playing the way that they are and playing that well against West teams when they're playing them, I mean, it's pretty hard not to put them at the top.
Pause on that one just for a second, Marshall, on your thoughts. That is great analysis, and that's why I bring these guys in here. I remember 2014 coming home from a road trip somewhere. You were on the club. I was flying beside Paul Waldo. Do you remember you guys were beating teams by double digits in 2014? And Waldo leans over and he goes, "We're kicking the crap out of everybody." And on the way to being 8-2. And then Durant gets hurt in the whole season. They got to bring in Kerry Joseph. Look at Hamilton. They were kicking the crap out of everybody. Masoli goes down and they might have gotten better. How come Winnipeg couldn't do that? If they're as good as we were led to believe that they were. That's another reason why Hamilton, they're with their backup quarterback, they're pounding everybody.
Well, this you're going back to something Chris said, and I may not be a direct quote, but it's a quarterback-centric league, and if you have a good quarterback, you will win way more games than you will if you don't. And Dane Evans, I mean, the two quarterbacks that have really emerged this year are Dane Evans in Hamilton and Cody Fajardo in Edmonton, or in Saskatchewan. And they're two of the top three teams, in my opinion. So my answer to the question is, I still think Hamilton is number one right now because they're really clicking on all cylinders, and their coaching staff, they're playing exciting football. I think one of the guys that hasn't been mentioned enough this year is Tommy Condell. The offensive imagination that he's displaying, and now he's got weapons like Brandon Banks and that other young guy, I can't remember his name.
Addison.
Yeah, Addison. I mean, how many times have you seen wide receivers taking balls in the backfield and into running plays? I mean, they're just doing some really imaginative stuff. So many, behind the line of scrimmage crossers, so many down the field crossers. And as a defensive back, former defensive back, those things are so hard to, you know, who's got who. And if, even if I have, I know who I've got. If he's running away from me right from the line of scrimmage, I'm in the chase position the whole time. So it's a really imaginative offense. So I think Hamilton is number one. I still think Calgary, because they still got Hufnagel, they still got Dickinson, and they still got Bo Levi Mitchell. So I think they're probably number two. Even if they end up in second place, I still think they're the favorite in the West, and Saskatchewan would be number three. But what I like about Saskatchewan is they have improved throughout the year. It's been an uphill climb like this. And if you ask me, where's their weakness? You know, is it this position, this position? They don't have one. They have strong players at every single position, and they're probably the healthiest team in the league right now.
Oh, yeah, with depth. Guys fighting to get onto the roster.
Yep.
So it is fantastic. Actually, I just, you guys noticed I was writing something as you talked. Here's two awards the CFL needs. I've been championing for years a GM of the year, which would be great. Most leagues have them. The CFL doesn't. And a coordinator of the year. Would be so outstanding to talk about that. And Tommy Kendall would have to be in the discussion. Yeah. And Paul Appelese might too. I mean, that's everybody wants to award, you know, Grey Cup simulations and power rankings. None of them mean jack squat. Just didn't talk about who should be coach of the year right now means jack squat. And you also nailed something too, Marshall. Calgary's number one until we have reason to believe they're not number one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Calgary's Calgary. They continue to just slide under the radar. And by the way, how much of their game in Montreal did you guys watch on the weekend? Because I watched the first quarter and a half and nothing for me was to be learned out of that. What happened to Calgary other than rolling up 547 yards offense and losing?
Well, two things. First of all, Bo's admitting to himself and saying it publicly that he's only playing at 40%. I don't mean 40% physically. He's just not playing well, and he's self-analyzing. So Bo's not playing especially well, and Montreal's defense was unbelievable. Like, they just, everything they touched turned to gold. They were making interceptions. They were knocking out fumbles. They were making tackles that were, you know, really hard tackles. They were getting sacks. They were jumping at the line of scrimmage and knocking down Bo's balls. It was really a remarkable turnaround, prompted like 95% by Montreal's defense. Montreal's defense just put up a brick wall and said, you're not getting another yard against Calgary. And Calgary almost didn't get any yards in the whole second half. And it only took a little bit of time before Montreal's offense started going again. And they only needed, you know, maybe 10 more points in the second half to beat Calgary, because Calgary's offense couldn't even move the ball.
That
was a defensive gem by the Montreal Alouettes.
Yeah, and they had a punt return touchdown as well, didn't they not?
Yes.
Montreal.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Yeah, which I think that's what really sparked the comeback to start with.
Yeah, that was right at the start of the second half, I think it was, or the end of the first half.
We will we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get to some of your comments on the Facebook wall. Some people figure they have found out what the Riders' weakness is, and they might be right. Biggest news in the CFL today, actually all week long, is the firing of Jim Popp this morning, the replacement of him by Mike Pinball Clemens. Others in Southern Ontario are saying this is exactly what the Argos need to be relevant again in the Toronto market, is having Pinball involved in a significant way. And maybe they're right. We'll talk about that and a heck of a lot more. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body.
Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Life is good. I found my phone. Reports of its death were premature. Episode number 90 of the Rod Peterson Show rolling on here today on a big news day. Brady from Saskatoon texting in, and he says, famous number 90s in honor of episode number 90. Ryan O'Reilly, guys. Jason Spezza. He's a regular healthy scratch for the Leafs, right, Dupes?
Got a point or two last night.
Did he play last night? But they lost, right?
Yeah.
Thomas Tatar, is he still wearing 90?
I don't think
so. Doesn't matter. Clark says yes. His nickname's Tuna. I love it. Thomas Tatar. Jadeveon Clowney, DeMarcus Lawrence, and I wrote a couple down. Joey Juno, you'd have to be a long time hockey fan to remember Joe Juno. DuPont says he remembers him.
Is he a Canadian, Montreal?
He was an American, and he played for the Capitals mostly in the 80s and early 90s. Joe Juno always represented America at the international tournaments. Javon Kurse, did I mention that earlier? He was outstanding with the Titans. And yesterday, Getz, you may or may not want to know, was number 89. I listed you as my favorite number 89. Followed closely, I think. Well, you know it's true, but followed closely by Daron Carter. I got you here. I got DC there.
I'll take it.
You got along pretty well when he was with the Riders and you were too, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Personally, I think Daron is a great guy. I love sharing the locker room with him each and every day.
Was there ever any talk about you getting 89 when you showed up? Remember that?
No. There wasn't any talk of it, and I really didn't try to pursue that. I mean, obviously I wore the number for a very long time, but I was coming in late in the season. He had obviously established himself in a pretty solid position, and I wasn't trying to create any drama or anything like that by even asking the question. Even though it may have been a very easy conversation with him, I still just didn't feel the need for it. And at the same time, I was able to get number 84, which was my rookie number. So I thought that was kind of cool. I had a pretty good idea it was going to be my last season. So kind of starting there, wearing 89 for the rest, and then finishing off with 84, felt kind of right.
Everything happens for a reason. I know you're one of those kind of guys. As I said, Marshall, you're a karma guy too, right? But with the numbers, I'm always fascinated by that. That's why we do this every day and we talk about numbers. But like when Arsenault had 84 with the Riders and Jordan Williams-Lambert showed up from the Bears and wears 17 and he'd been wearing 84, there had to have been a discussion, no? How does that work in a locker room when a guy shows up and somebody's in his stall or wearing his number? I mean, it's obviously different everywhere you go, but how do you think it played out here with these guys?
I mean, to me, it's not even a conversation.
Really?
No, I mean, Manny Arsenault has wore 84 in the league for how long and has put up all kinds of numbers. Lambert had, one starting year under his
belt? Rookie of the year.
Hey, heck of a year. There's no doubt about that. And then him coming back and possibly even taking Manny off of the roster to go in doesn't warrant taking that number. Manny's earned that number for as long as he's had it.
But that's my question, because he didn't earn it here. And Williams-Lambert wore it here last year. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying how I look at it. That's why I want to ask you guys the question, because you've been in that locker room. Sort of like, where do guys sit in the back of the bus with hockey? Vets sit in the back, rookies sit in the front. That's just the way that it is. It goes by years. So I guess it doesn't matter where you put in those years if you put in the years.
Yeah, that's my view as well. I think there's an unofficial seniority system in the Canadian Football League. And if I was Jordan Williams-Lambert and came back to the Riders and I saw who was wearing the number I wore last year, if it was a rookie, I'd say, hey, buddy, I want that number. But if it's a guy that's been wearing that number for 10 years or whatever in the Canadian Football League and you know, has been such a great player and a great ambassador for so long, I think it would be disrespectful for me to go to that person and say, hey, do you mind if I have 84 back? Mm-hmm. I think Manny Arsenault would kind of look at him and go, yeah, right.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of special people and ambassadors, I'll invite you two to put your headphones on because we got Marcus Crandall joining us this morning from North Carolina. Look at him, two-time Grey Cup champion. He's a part of CFL history, which he probably knows, but I'll bring that up with him in a moment. Sizzle, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, Rod. How are you, man?
Very well, very well. We got Chris Getzlaff with us and Marshall Hamilton with us in the bunker talking sports this morning. And I know you were just up here for the Plaza induction of your good friend Kerry Joseph not that long ago, Marcus. But before we get into all that, just tell us how you doing and what you're doing these days, as the fans always like to get caught up with the guys.
Well, I'm doing all right, man. No complaints. Just trying to plug away and build a business in a lot of different ways. One of the things I'm doing here is continuing to I brought the insurance industry down here as well. So I've done that. I'm also doing a little broadcasting as well with Pirate Radio here locally in Greenville, North Carolina, where East Carolina University is, my alma mater. So doing the I'm on every Thursday from 5 to 6, and then pregame and postgame shows for 4 hours or three hours, then 2 hours after the game. I'm also just recently taking over trying to help build the rec program back in my hometown. So I'm involved with that and with a lot of other surrounding areas. We're all collaborating to bring sports back into the towns.
None of this surprises me, because you're a champion, always have been, and I'm glad that it's going so well, Marcus. And the other thing I want to talk to you about is we had Wally Buono on this show way back in June once we started. Wally said, of all the Grey Cups, and most guys won't answer this question, but he said he has a favorite, and it's 0-1 with the Stampeders and the upsets that you guys knocked off along the way. How about that, that Wally would say that was his favorite Grey Cup and you were a centerpiece of it?
Man, that's brings a smile to our face. I'm sure I speak for a lot of guys with that. You know, it was a special year for us because we went through a lot of adversity. As you know, with football, you do that, or actually with sports, you do that as far as, you know, overcoming the injuries and all those things that go along with getting through an 18-game season and then the playoffs. And so we battled back, and everyone got healthy for the most part when the championship was on the line. And we came out victorious and celebrated and had a good time. And so it's definitely a great feeling to hear a person like Wally say that, and I'm sure I'll speak for a lot of guys.
You know, I'm going to ask Marshall and Getz to jump in here at any time, because I'm sure they got questions for you. But the reason I say that you're part of CFL history, and I'm sure you don't take this as an insult, but we always say when these quarterbacks go down, these number one marquee guys, they say, you know, you can't win a Grey Cup without a marquee quarterback. And everybody says, Marcus Crandall did it in Calgary in 2001. That's how your name still comes up. Is that a compliment or an insult to you?
You know what? It take it as it is, man. Take it with, you know, because I didn't start off the season as a starter that year. Ben Sankey started off. He had a thumb injury, and then I came in, and the thing about it, I got hurt as well. And so it took a lot of team effort and faith in each other and belief that we can get it done, especially at the crucial time of the year when we needed to win games late in the season. And so we came together and we did it. So I take it as a compliment. You have to be ready at all times. I tell guys all the time, even when I play, that you always have to be ready. Prepare like a starter as if you're going to play, because you never know when the next injury is going to occur that's going to allow you to get your opportunity.
You were the top backup to Kerry Joseph, and talk a little bit about what made that team special, A, please, Marcus, and B, what it was like coming back to induct him into the Players of Honor.
Well, it made it special because Kerry, along with a lot of other Ottawa Renegades teammates, came here or came to Saskatchewan. And, you know, we were in a situation where the Rough Riders had been making the playoffs but weren't able to get over the hump. And Kerry just brought in a different attitude, a different type of leadership. You know, he worked hard on the field. He worked hard off the field. And so he just instilled that into everyone. And just like he talks about as far as leading the group, as far as he wanted to be with us. He wanted to go out there with us, right beside us, and not be, you know, in the forefront, so to speak. And it's all about him. It wasn't all about him. It was about everyone else and taking in the glory as well. And he always put God first, and that was a big thing as well. And it meant a lot for me to have him ask to induct him into the, or be his introducer to the Plaza of Honor. And it was a good feeling to come there and see him and to be a part of that special moment for him.
And what about the 07 Rough Riders? What made that team? Well, I guess you talked about the fact that those Renegades guys came, but sometimes it's not always the most talented team, right? And I guess that's where my question is. With the 2019 CFL, Getz just said Hamilton's kicking the crap out of everybody. But that doesn't guarantee a championship, man. Sometimes it's the teams that come together. What's the number one ingredient for a championship team since you've been on a couple?
You know, I think it's about guys coming together and sacrificing, coming together and doing whatever you can to make everything work as far as, you know, a lot of guys want to be out there on the field. Like you said, like myself, I had been a starting quarterback. I of course, I wanted to be a starter for that league, for that team in 2007. But I took the backseat role and just played my role. And I think it that goes across the board. We had Mike Abu come in as well. We have some. So there was a big change there as well as far as the offensive line and just believing in each other. I think that's the main thing because, you know, you got that there are a couple of games where I think it was the Winnipeg game when Kerry took off and the I think it was a draw play and went in on the winning touchdown score, so to speak. And it was just moments like that where we always felt like we're going to win the game. We're in it. And I think we learned from the previous year when we came up short against BC, and we just carry that momentum over to the next year.
Marcus Marshall here. I've got a question for you that's a hypothetical question, and it's directed to you, but it's not directed to you personally, but it's directed to you as representing all former quarterbacks that have just retired from the league. So we were talking earlier about Winnipeg Blue Bombers playing without Matt Nichols. They're playing with Chris Streveler, and under Chris Streveler, they're struggling a little bit, and there's people saying, we should be bringing in a veteran quarterback. And I'm on the side that says that it's really hard to bring in somebody this late in the season and really be effective. Now, you might say, no, Marshall, you're absolutely wrong, but talk about how hard it would be. If you had just retired last year, and a team that you had never played for came and asked you to come play the last four games of the season and save it for us, well, how hard is that for, I know what it's like for a receiver or a defensive back or a defensive lineman, but quarterback's a different animal. Talk about how difficult that would be.
Well, it's difficult in the sense that, for one, what type of system are you running? Some people have, or everyone has different systems. A lot of them are the same. So in that regard, it's actually fairly easy. It's just a matter of what kind of terminology are you using and how similar it is to the one that you've been used to. That would be the hardest thing. And I think you just have to, if you're coming in this late in the season, it's just a matter of putting in the time, really. It becomes more than a four-hour job for sure. As most people do, but it's probably more than what most people do as far as, you know, taking in the extra time. It's the extra time to learn the offense, learn the receivers, learn the running backs, and see where the weaknesses are as far as trying to make the team go. So I think it's definitely a lot tougher from that position with having so many variables that will come into effect to make you be successful or help you be successful.
Our producer Clark has asked, how was the transition to coaching for you, Marcus?
It was, during the latter part of my career, I kind of questioned if I wanted to coach. I think it was fairly easy because I had a group of coaches that I was surrounded by that knew how to win. I was very familiar with, and they assisted me as far as, you know, helping, learning what to do, involving me as far as the installation and all those kind of things, and I think that helps out. So it was fairly easy because for me it was so close to my retirement or finishing my season the previous year that we're in the same offense and all those kind of things. I think that was probably the most important thing, is that I was pretty much running the same offense or coaching up the same offense that I was in previously.
All right, Marcus. Well, I appreciate it, my man. I'm glad to hear everything's going so well, and hopefully you get up here again soon. Look us up. We'd love to have you in the bunker sometime.
I would definitely look you up for sure when I'm there.
All right. Thank you, Marcus. Have a great day. Two-time Grey Cup champion Marcus Crandall joining us from North Carolina this morning. And that's interesting, gentlemen. When I asked, is that an insult or a compliment, that his name still comes up to this day? There's a guy that led a team. That's a great, I would think that would be something to be proud of, guess, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Came in.
Yeah,
I would say that's more of a compliment than an insult.
Right. But. Yeah. Well, but the inference is that he's not a marquee quarterback, because most guys probably want to think that they are. But that's not what his resume would, you know, fall under.
I mean, all quarterbacks have egos, but I think that maybe 25% of them genuinely believe they're a marquee quarterback, and the other 75% are probably
the marquee quarterbacks.
Yeah, right. that say, well, no, I had a good season, but I had really good players around me, and I had good they'll deflect off of themselves, and they'll put it on all the players that helped them be successful. So there's not many. I mean, there are people, and I'll leave names out of it, but that will say, yeah, I was the best quarterback in the Canadian Football League. Anthony Calvillo's not saying that.
No, not that we know of. Well, but the point is, some guys say, I'm a career backup, maybe. Cody Fajardo could have said that, and now he's on the way to potentially being the most outstanding player in the Canadian Football League. And the last two quarterbacks that have done that here go by the names Kerry Joseph and Ron Lancaster. Doesn't happen very often. So I get, that's my point. Most guys probably think they are marquee guys and didn't get their shot or didn't get their opportunity. That's all. I think Marcus understands his place in history, and it's a great one, by the way. He's got nothing to apologize for.
Yeah, I think it's one thing, though, to think you're a marquee guy and to express it.
Yep.
So, I mean, everyone should think that they're a marquee guy. Why wouldn't you? You got to have self-confidence if you're going to get an opportunity and be able to take advantage of it. But it's just how you portray it to the rest of the world. That's
humility.
That's what should be humility, right?
Right.
That should be putting it on your teammates. That should be just being a team guy and a leader.
Well, and by the way, we got so many things to get to. I don't know what we got planned an hour or two. I hope these guys are a part of it, because their text phone's going crazy too. But I saw a tweet on the weekend. Some guy said that Rod could talk about the 2013 Grey Cup for days and we'd all still listen, some guy said. And G-Roy Simon comes to mind when you say that, because I've seen G-Roy speak and we all knew him personally. G-Roy would stand at the front of a room in front of 700 people and say that he believed he was the greatest receiver on the planet. And he did believe it. And he would tell you that. But he was never arrogant. I've never met a guy like that. You know what I mean? He was
Absolutely.
Not a bad guy. But he goes, I'm the greatest there is. And he would do the Superman pose and pretty much go out and prove it. You would think that's arrogant. But if you know G-Roy, that's not arrogant. That's the way he thought.
Right. He was able to do it, but still. Yeah. I mean, especially in a locker room, like, comes in, instantly commands a locker room. Like, there's nothing but respect there. Going back to your number thing there, I actually saw someone write it up there. It's like if G-Roy changing teams and someone had 81 here, they wouldn't give him 81. I mean, there's no way that's not happening, right?
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, he was able to be the marquee guy, obviously, greatest that's played in the CFL. and still have the confidence to say it out loud, but not seem arrogant. That's a rare quality to have.
I don't remember a guy ever being like that in my time, and it's hilarious. And I love him to this day. We still talk. That's what makes G-Roy G-Roy. And he will be a GM in this league. You know that. And he'll be a damn good one, too.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, he's got everything. By the way, just a couple of text messages here from Doug, listening in Edmonton. He says, Joe Juno is a Canadian. I'm a big fan, listening from Edmonton, grew up in PA. Yeah, so that's what I was Googling while you guys were talking. From Pont Rouge, Quebec, Joe Juno, but he won an Olympic gold in 1992 with USA. So I never quite figured out how the hell that happened. So
maybe he's got a dual citizenship just like Andrew Scheer.
Right. Do you have a problem with that? Did you watch the leaders? I was hoping
we could mimic the debate.
What are you talking about?
Talking over each other. You know, so that everybody's talking, but nobody can understand anything because we can't concentrate on three people talking at the same time.
Nobody would believe this, but I watched the debate last night, and then I went back and watched it again.
I've got a taste. I haven't watched it all yet.
I don't like anybody to know that I follow politics at all, and I don't necessarily always, but last night was pretty fascinating and childish, too, at times. But just to read a couple more Prairie Mobile texts. Hi, Rod. This is Ali and Kev from Sherwood Park. Belated thanks for signing our 2013 Grey Cup football at the Armories before the game. It was very nice to meet you. We wish you continued success with your new show. Thank you, Ali and Kev. It was nice finally meeting you as well. And thanks to the Armed Forces for hosting another great tailgate party. We'll be out there for the rest of the season. If it gets too cold, we'll just move it indoors. There was one here I wanted. Here it is. From Nashville and Saskatoon. As Marshall's neck just snapped to me.
Is Nashville willing to send me some money?
So, first of all, I want to say hi to my buddy Marshall.
Hey, Nashville. Good to hear from you.
And we'll get into the inside joke there in a minute. He says, which other team do you guys think will make a head coach or GM change next? Edmonton or Ottawa? Can you explain the bet that you have with Nashville before you answer that question?
Yeah, I don't want to kick a man while he's down, but Nashville and I said, I think the first program of the year here, that I thought Hamilton would win the East easily, and anybody thinks I'm wrong, I'd be willing to bet them. And Nashville, being a competitive guy, says, I'll take that bet. And for a while there, I was a little bit nervous because Ottawa got off to a really fast start. You know, Montreal and Toronto look like Montreal and Toronto. But the way things have turned out, Montreal's really turned out to be the second best team in the East. But I'm all but wrapping up that bet with Nashville. So thanks for chiming in, Nashville.
So to the next coaching or GM change in the CFL, great question from Nashville in Saskatoon. And maybe that's where we'll end hour one with you two guys with the analysis. You got to understand, everything needs to play out. It's not a coincidence that the Argos were mathematically eliminated Saturday night, and 3 days later they fire the GM. They're sitting in Ottawa waiting. They're sitting in Edmonton waiting. One of those two teams isn't going to make the playoffs. Maybe both. If BC catches Edmonton, they could clinch. All of a sudden, Ed Hervey's GM of the year. Devon Claybrooks is coach of the year. But they're waiting to see what happens. So for us to say, to predict, very hard to say. I would suggest, from what I'm hearing out of Edmonton, Jason Maas would be the guy to walk the plank. He would be the next one if they don't get into the playoffs and do something. But they don't have their quarterback either. So that makes it very difficult. But I just think in Ottawa, knowing the way owners work too, by the way, when the owners send letters out to all the season ticket holders and basically say, hey, we're not happy with this season either, but let's please remember we've been in three of the last five Grey Cups as an expansion team. I think that Rick Campbell and Marcel Desjardins have bought themselves a little more time than what they have this year, rather than one anomaly, as they called it, aberration. Whereas in Edmonton, they missed the playoffs in a year that they're hosting the Grey Cup at 9-9, and the GM and coach survived. They're not going to survive another year if they don't pull this out. That's my take. How about you guys?
Yeah, I would think it's Edmonton because I think Moss was on thin ice probably the better part of the last 2 years. And the fact that he survived and was the coach this year surprised me a little bit. So I think with what's happened, even though, yeah, you could say his record's what it is because he lost his starting quarterback, that happens to a lot of teams. But I think Edmonton has fallen off the map. and aren't relevant in the West anymore. And I think Moss will lose his job. And you said it already, but Rick Campbell has earned the right to continue to do what he's doing. He had a really tough offseason. Now, do you blame Desjardins for letting all those free agents go, or do you blame them both? I don't know, but they have had, you know, a really good run in the last 5 years. One bad year, I wouldn't get rid of them.
Getz, I forgot you got a run. So what's your quick analysis?
I would say it would be most likely Moss because of Ottawa being as strong as they were the previous years and going to the Grey Cup. I mean, I think it's interesting, though, because if Edmonton was in the East, they would have been hosting a couple of those East finals. So,
oh, this debate, right?
Well, I mean, and it's going to be ongoing. You get a bye and you get one home game to get to the dance. And, you know, don't get me wrong, they pulled it off when they were in the Grey Cup the 1 year. But, I mean, it's a lot easier path going when you're finishing 8-9-1 and you're getting a bye and then getting to the Grey Cup. So, I mean, if you look at their records, I mean, I'm guessing Moss has got a very similar record to Campbell. But it's where do you finish and how, right? And Edmonton's going to be in the playoffs. I mean, BC, yeah, they're playing well, but look at the teams that they've played over the last 4 weeks. I mean, wait till they come across, you know, one of the stronger candidates again and see
they still got
if
the
they're
riders.
Still that guy.
One loss and they're out. So
right. Well, and they play Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Don't they play them this week?
I haven't looked at this week's schedule yet. I thought they were done with the Eskimos, but I know the Eskimos have already won.
They've beaten them twice, and Edmonton's series. Got the season yeah. series.
Well, we could go on all day, but you got a roll, Getz. So thanks. Always good seeing you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Marsh, you sticking around for a bit?
I think so.
In hour two, Julie Stewart-Binks, formerly of ESPN, Fox Sports, and CTV Regina. Now she's got her own show. She'll be joining us as well. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday. Episode 90 is on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.